For CRI News, this is Bob Jones. China on Saturday has described the flight of two B-52 strategic bombers over the area near the Nansha Islands as a serious military provocation. China's Ministry of National Defense said the two US bombers flew into the airspace near an island and reef off the Nansha Islands on December the 10th. Military personnel on the island and reef warned the aircraft to leave. The ministry said the United States, by continuously sending military ships and planes, have severely threatened the safety of Chinese personnel and facilities, as well as the peace and stability of the region. China also demanded the United States immediately adopt measures to prevent such dangerous actions in order to prevent damaging relations between the two militaries and countries. The ministry announced the Chinese armed forces would take whatever measures necessary to safeguard China's national sovereignty and security, as well as the peace and stability of the region. China's central bank has welcomed the ratification of the 2010 quota and governance reforms of the International Monetary Fund by the US Congress. Such approval means that the 2010 reforms, after protracted delay, are expected to take effect soon. The People's Bank of China says the move will enhance the representativeness and voice of emerging market economies at the international lender. It will double the IMF quotas and reallocated quota and voting shares in the IMF away from advanced economies to their growing emerging counterparts. China will have the third largest IMF quota and voting share after the United States and Japan. The UN Security Council has adopted a resolution endorsing an international roadmap for a Syria-led political transition in order to end the country's conflict. The resolution calls for Syrian peace talks to begin in early January. It also calls for the UN to present the Council with options for monitoring a ceasefire within 1 month of the adoption of the resolution. The resolution has also backed a timeline previously agreed in Vienna for talks between the government and opposition groups and the eventual holding of elections. Thailand and China launched a railway project Saturday, marking the beginning of bilateral cooperation to develop Thailand's first standard-gauge double-track railway line. The two sides are collaborating in building a medium-speed railway line with trains operating at top speeds of 160 to 180 kilometres per hour. The 845-kilometre line will link the Thai capital Bangkok with the northeastern city of Nong Khai near the border with Laos. Three volumes of a compilation focusing on plants in the Pan-Himalayan region have been published jointly by China's Science Press and the Cambridge University Press. The flora of the Pan-Himalayas aims to provide scientific guidance for protecting the local environment and biodiversity, as well as for using plant resources. The project started in 2010 and was led by Chinese scientists as well as botanists from other countries, including Britain, the US and Nepal. The Wanda Group is to build a shopping complex in downtown Urumqi, capital of West China's Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. The shopping complex, with an investment of 3.5 billion yuan, is expected to open for business in 2017. The complex will feature a shopping mall, IMAX cinemas and restaurants. Here in China, a heart was successfully transplanted to a patient 7 hours after it was removed from the donor. Doctors said it is rare to use a heart that has already stopped beating for 6 hours and more, but the transplant succeeded because the donor was very young and had a strong heart. The patient in southeast China's city of Fuzhou needed a heart transplant due to a worsening blood clot around his heart. Luckily, a matching donor was located a three-hour drive away. The donor had been pronounced brain dead from a brain tumour. The Palace Museum in Beijing, also known as the Forbidden City, will launch its new digital gallery on December the 22nd. The gallery is located in Duanmen Gate, the main entrance to the Imperial Palace grounds, and features screens displaying cultural relics and explaining architectural features. The aim is to give wider access to often priceless artifacts, some of which are too fragile to display physically. The gallery can also be accessed virtually by mobile phones and other devices. For CRI News, this is Bob Jones.